to Forensic Mythology. I'm Trista.
And I'm Crystal.
And today we're going to be talking about
Boudica
and
Androsti.
There we go, Androsti.
I don't know why I had to say it. You're talking about
I'm still unsure of how to pronounce it. I forget it every single time I see it. I'm sorry.
I had like a whole bunch of different things that I was preparing, like different subjects, and I just didn't care about any of them enough to finish. So that's what took so long.
That bodes well for this one.
Well, this one I was just like, I'm totally into it, so I got it done really fast.
All right, well, there's not a whole lot known about Androsti. Is that right?
Yeah.
Androsti.
You're just jumping right in.
Yeah, and so this is about going to be like 2 minutes of me talking, because once again, very little is known about her. But she is a Celtic warrior goddess of victory and of ravens, battle, she's also a lunar mother of fertility, love, and divination.
She covers the whole range.
Yep. And so, Androsti, say that right?
Yeah.
is her Roman name, her original name, because she was the goddess of the Iceni tribe?
Iceni?
I'm trying my best.
I know.
And Her original name was Andred, A-N-D-R-E-D.
Saying it in all of the ways doesn't really help. Just
no, but okay. Well, so in general, her origins, like myths, legends, etc., are unknown. But her name is thought to mean the invincible one, or she who has not fallen, which I think is cool. And her symbol is a hare.
And we don't know why.
No, but there is, like, a story told that in Britain, you shouldn't kill a hare because then all your courage would leave you.
So she's maybe the goddess of courage?
I don't know.
Okay.
I read somewhere that, yeah, anyways.
Okay.
But she is said to have been extensively worshipped throughout Britain, and I have a quick little quote here from one of the three websites that popped up when I Googled her name. From SymbolSage.com, and it is, some say that before a fight, the people and or soldiers would build an altar in her honor. They would place a red candle with black or red stones on it to worship the goddess and invoke her strength and guidance. The stones they used were said to be black tourmaline or garnets. There was also a representation of a hare. Some made blood sacrifices to Androsti. Did I say that right?
Yeah, close enough.
Either animal or human. She was fond of hares and accepted them as sacrificial offerings. However, not much is known about these rites or rituals. What is known for sure is that she was venerated in a grove. And, yep. That's all of it.
Gonna also be mentioning the groves of Androsti. Okay, well, that literally did last 3 minutes. Congratulations. Yep.
Thank you. 3 minutes of hard work.
So yeah, I had a bunch of other plans. We've also had a lot of crazy stuff going on, like a school lockdown the other day, and
yep,
your first year of college done, and yep. Speeches, and
oh god,
lots of things, but so yeah, I haven't gotten very much done on this, and blah blah blah. Like, I never get very much done.
Fair enough.
So, as you all know, I'm going to be talking about the warrior queen Boudica, and she was the queen of the Iceni. God damn it. I want to say the Iceni, but it's, when I looked it up, it's the Iceni.
Iceni?
Now I'm questioning myself. Let me look it up
again. I was questioning myself the entire time I was pronouncing the goddess's name. I don't know if you could tell every time I said it and I went, is that right?
Like, the whole time that I'm reading it, I was saying it right in my head, but now that I went to say it out loud, I just, like, panicked, though. Okay, so it's the Iceni. I just, like, freaked out for a second. It's fine. The Iceni tribe in Britain. So there are historical accounts of her, but there's also so much like myth and legend, and like she was just like very cool and kind of scary. So there's a lot. But the Iceni were one of the more powerful tribes in Britain during the early Roman era, when Rome was taking over pretty much the whole world. And
as the Romans do.
As the Romans do. Their territory included present-day Norfolk, parts of Suffolk, and Cambridgeshire. I'm saying these places, but honestly, I don't know where that is.
I was just about to say, like, where are those places?
I mean, they're all, like, in Britain, but I don't know where they are in
relation.
Connection to anything else, yes. So, early on, they were actually allies of Rome, and this continued while Boudica's husband, Prasutagus, was king. And then things started to get wild after he died around the year 60 current era. Because, of course, Rome and its great wisdom decided to just annex the tribe into Rome. Like, that king was cool, and he was our ally, but since he died, we're just gonna go ahead and take over now. So, Boudica was like, no. And there had been a previous uprising in the year 43 when the Romans tried to disarm them. Like, they were, but the Romans had already been on the island, or whatever.
Yeah.
But then they were like, I think we should take their weapons. And then it did not end well for anyone. Like, it was a crazy, intense battle. The Iceni actually lost in the end, but they were able to retain their independence, and they didn't take their weapons, because, like, so many on both sides, like, they fought so hard that both sides lost so much, they just kind of agreed to keep things in the status quo.
Awesome.
They didn't push the issue of taking their weapons. So, back to the year 60, when Prasutagus dies, he left his throne to his two daughters with Boudica, and also the Roman emperor. Because there was an expectation, like, when Rome would conquer an area, and they had their little puppet kings, when the kings would die, then they would leave their land to the emperor. It was kind of just like a little, like, hey, you get to keep being king as long as you're alive.
And then when you die, we get your land.
And then we won't come in and kill all of you. Well, hopefully. But the Roman officials ignored this, that he was trying to skirt around it by also naming his two daughters as, inheriting his throne. So they ignored that. They immediately took over his family estate, and Roman soldiers started looting and pillaging the countryside. And when Boudica objected, they had her whipped, and the two daughters were raped. So, obviously, there was no negotiating a peace after that. And Boudica was, like, ready to burn everything down. One does. So, there are several speeches that were attributed to her in the histories that discuss her. But we don't know how much of this, like, she actually really said, or if it was just added by authors, like, 100 years later or whatever. But here's one of her speeches. Have we not been robbed entirely of most of our possessions, and those the greatest, while for those that remain we pay taxes? Besides pasturing and tilling for them all our other possessions, do we not pay a yearly tribute for our very bodies? How much better it would be to have been sold to masters once and for all than possessing empty titles of freedom, to have to ransom ourselves every year. How much better to have been slain and to have perished than to go about with a tax on our heads. Among the rest of mankind, death frees even those who are in slavery to others. Only in the case of the Romans do the very dead remain alive for their profit. Why is that? Though none of us has any money, how indeed could we, or where would we get it? We're stripped and despoiled like a murderer's victims, and why should the Romans be expected to display moderation as time goes on, when they have behaved toward us in this fashion at the very outset, when all men show consideration even for the beasts they have newly captured?
Dang.
So she was saying, like, they're already treating us this badly, like, it's only gonna get worse as time goes on.
Yeah.
So she led a revolt against Rome. While the, like, the larger part of the main Roman army in Britain was fighting in Wales. She led the Iceni, and neighboring tribes on a rampage that sacked several cities, including what's now London. The Roman name for it is, I'm just going to call it London.
Okay.
which was a Roman city at the time. She led an army of about 120,000 men and called on the goddess of victory, Andraste, to help them win, and they were not fucking around. They attacked some of the Roman cities and garrisons that had very few soldiers in them, and the soldiers that survived the initial attack fled to a temple they were building, a temple of Claudius, for 2 days before they, you know, rushed the temple and then killed them all in there.
Fair enough.
Another legion attempted to relieve the city but suffered an overwhelming defeat. The infantry with them were all killed, and only the commander and some of his cavalry escaped because they're on horses and infantry is just not. So after this disaster, Catus Deci, I hate Roman names. I can't say it. Whose behavior had provoked the rebellion, fled abroad to Gaul, which is France, basically. Finally, another legion that was campaigning against the island of Mona off the coast of North Wales heard about the uprising and returned to deal with Boudica. They moved quickly with a force of men through hostile territory to London, which they reached before the arrival of Boudica's army, but outnumbered, decided to abandon the town to the rebels, who burned it down after torturing and killing everyone who had remained.
Oh my god.
That's what I mean. They were like, we're done with this.
Screw the Romans.
The rebels also sacked the... Well, I can't even say that word, but it's modern day St. Albans. So like a big church. Verulamium.
Whoa, I just forgot to speak. Oh, and it's gone.
Yeah. So anyways, according to Tacitus, who was writing about 40 years earlier, or 40 years later, he predicted it 40 years before it happened.
Well, what a guy.
The Britons had no interest in taking the Roman population as prisoners, only in slaughter by gibbet, fire, or cross. And gibbet just means like, or gibbet, honestly, I don't know if I'm saying it wrong. It's just like any public execution, so it could be like gallows or guillotine. Oh, or nice. Putting someone on what's that called, impaling somebody like on a stake. I don't know why that was so hard to think of.
I don't know.
So Dio's account gives more detail that the noblest women were impaled on spikes. Oh, wow, I could have just read...
Yeah, you could have just read like,
two sentences more. And had their breasts cut off and sewn to their mouths. Which, honestly...
Did you know, actually, a lot of the time in Western cultures, hate against women is often taken out on their breasts. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of time, priests, like, specifically the Catholic Church, was like... Yeah, women's breasts are the gateways to hell, and when they go to hell, they're going to be strung up by their titties. And that's how you know that they're going to go to hell, because they have breasts. And, like, there's this one time where this woman was slaughtered, and they cut off her breasts. Or she wasn't... They cut off her breasts and then shoved them in her son's mouth. And, like, they're like, ooh, look, this is the last... You're going to, like, symbolism of, like, ooh... Yeah. You were given life with your mother's breasts, and now you're gonna die, because then they all burned on the stake together.
Yikes.
I learned that.
Was that all in your boob book?
A History of the Breast by Marilyn Yalom. I love that book. It's very interesting.
It's very graphic and upsetting.
Yeah, it was a good read, though.
So these are now the, like, Iceni troops, like, torturing all the Romans... After, mm-hmm. you know, the Romans had been torturing them.
Yeah.
But in all the descriptions, and maybe it's because it's so, like, attention-catching, things like they sewed their cut-off breasts to their mouths. Like, that just seems like a lot of excessive work for what? But it's usually, you know, just tons of torture of women who can't really, they're not fighting back. Especially they're talking about, like, noble women. They don't have their weapons.
Yeah.
So, war is always worst for women. Still to this day. So, well, civilian women, we'll say. Anyways, so all of this was done to the accompaniment of sacrifices, banquets, and wanton behavior in sacred places, particularly the groves of Andraste. So, an expert... I'm cutting that out. An excerpt from Cassius Dio in his Roman History, which was written about 150 years later, it states, "A terrible disaster occurred in Britain. Two cities were sacked, 80,000 of the Romans and of their allies perished, and the island was lost to Rome. Moreover, all of this ruin was brought upon the Romans by a woman, a fact which itself caused them the greatest shame. But the person who was chiefly instrumental in rousing the natives and persuading them to fight the Romans, the person who was thought worthy to be their leader and who directed the conduct of the entire war, was Boudica, a Briton woman of the royal family and possessed of greater intelligence than often belongs to women. In stature she was very tall, in appearance most terrifying, in the glance of her eye most fierce, and her voice was harsh. A great mass of the tawniest hair fell to her hips, around her neck was a large golden necklace, and she wore a tunic of diverse colors, over which a thick mantle was fastened with a brooch. This was her invariable attire."
Nice.
So she sounds terrifying and cool.
She does. I want to be her friend.
I wouldn't want to be her enemy.
No, definitely not.
So this uprising, although it was kind of desperate and reckless, and they knew they'd probably not win, it ended up posing a very real threat to Rome's rule in Britain. The Emperor Nero considered withdrawing all the armies from the island completely, but eventually the very outnumbered Roman forces did defeat the uprising with their superior weapons and training.
Oh man.
I know, it's a big bummer. And Boudica died shortly after, possibly by suicide by poison. She was like, "You're not taking me alive."
Fair enough, dude. I'd do the same.
Because God only knows, they're just going to probably cut off her boobs or something.
Probably.
So it was recorded that she had a lavish funeral, but her burial site is unknown. She has gone down in history almost as a goddess and is celebrated in Britain as a national heroine and a symbol of the fight for independence.
Nice.
Which is ironic. It's like a time before, you know, before Britain was taking over the whole world and other people had to celebrate their independence. But, after that, there were still other tribes that had uprisings in Britain, like the Picts, who, which is what Guinevere, King Arthur's wife, was thought to be. But the monster that was Rome just kept coming and remained their evil overlords until the whole empire, the whole Roman Empire, started to crumble in the 5th century. But imagine what it might have been like if their uprising had been successful. Like, I'm sure Rome would have just kept sending more and more people.
Probably.
And it would have just kept going and started all over again, but it's fun to think about. Because just how would things be different?
Nice.
So, oh, and also, as a side note, I read a fictional book about Boudica a couple years ago, and it was really good, and it's called Boudica Dreaming the Eagle by Amanda Scott. So if you want to just read a book that's not, you know, a history book, it's fiction, but yeah, check it out.
Nice.
So that is all. It's not very much.
No, but it was interesting.
And it's kind of a bummer.
Just a little bit. Well, thank you for listening. I don't remember how I end these. Thanks for listening.
To this little, I appreciate it. Baby mini episode.
20 minutes of your life you're never going to get back.
It's a little violent, a little creepy, but...
A little violent, a little creepy.
One of these days, I will do a regular episode again.
One of these days, I will defeat the Roman Empire myself.
Well,
I will go back in time and defeat them myself.
Okay.
I could do it.
I believe in you.
Thank you.